Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Have another winter morning here in northern Indiana, and some light snow and almost a snow drizzle mix, but roads weren't too bad yet, but good to be together and in a warm building and be able to share in God's word and in prayer. And that's our focus this week, praying about prayer, praying about our prayer life, praying that God does immeasurably more through our prayers as we learn to align our prayers with His will and to pray the things that He wants us to pray about, not so that we inform Him, but so that we are transformed by Him. And today we're going to talk and pray about what can be a difficult topic, praying for all in authority. And our primary verse passage for the week came out of 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says to pray for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. And we'll talk more about the peaceful and quiet life tomorrow. But today we want to focus in on that praying for all those in authority. Romans 13:1 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, I suspect that there comes to mind in most people listening individuals that have had positions of authority that you would immediately say, wait a minute, that couldn't be. They were horrible, evil, wicked people. And the difficulty I think that we have is we think we deserve better. And yet, when we look throughout history, biblical history, there were those that were placed in positions of authority that were cruel to God's people. And yet, God makes it clear that they were there for a purpose. It wasn't a purpose the people liked. It was a purpose the people needed. And sometimes that purpose is discipline. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's a distant purpose that they have no idea what it's for. And God continues to use it for His good. And when we live under any sense of oppression, our first reaction often, especially as Americans, we live in this democratic republic that gives us a say and a voice. And in fact, the basic premise of it is that we, the people, govern ourselves through elected representatives. And so we ought to have more say than what sometimes it feels like we do. And in the Romans passage, I think sometimes we stumble over that concept of submitting to all those in authority because, well, we don't like their decisions. And I believe there's precedent in the Bible. You have the apostles at times where, you know, they'll say, we must obey God rather than men. And there are times where those in authority may demand something that would be disobedient to God. And the way we respond to that ought to reflect a respect, even if it can't be in direct obedience. There ought to be a willingness to find a way. I think of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their refusal to eat from the king's table, to eat that which was set before them because of their belief and because of God's law regarding their diets. And rather than make a huge scene, they worked out a an arrangement that proved not only to their benefit, but it proved to the benefit of the nation. And so we learn that there may be those times, I think we use that far often than what is legitimate, that we rebel against governing authority because we must obey God rather than men, and in reality we're obeying ourselves rather than someone else. We tend to expand the requirements of God to fit what we want to do when it's convenient. But in everyday life, we tend to restrict the commands of God so that we can do whatever we want. And so we're not very good at applying that obeying God equally throughout all aspects of our life. We almost use it as an excuse to disobey things that we don't care for. But all of it is about God being the one who is in authority. Jesus, as he prepared to leave earth, told his disciples, told us, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Therefore, go and make disciples. And that's the heart of the passage that Paul wrote to Timothy, was that we would pray for all of those in authority in order that we could live peaceful and quiet lives, in order to represent Jesus well. And so we pray. We pray for those we agree with, and I think we pray perhaps even more deliberately for those we disagree with, because it's harder for us to do because it goes against our nature. But we also pray with a submissive spirit. We seek God rather than seek rebellion. We seek to learn the lesson that may be the reason for leadership that we don't think is right or godly. It's the leadership here in America that we selected. And so we pray. And as we pray, what typically happens is we begin to recognize the issues in our own life. And we pray that we can represent Jesus well. And the struggle that we often have is when change needs to happen. How do we do that and live a life that's obedient? I think of the era specifically just prior to my birth, where the racial segregation and discrimination and all of the stuff that was happening very blatantly, not that it's completely disappeared, but resulted in what was known as civil disobedience. And there were times, I suspect, that it was not as civil as what it was at other times, but the primary leadership within most of that was always about respect with an eye toward change, with a desire to be heard and understood, and a desire for dialogue. And as we pray for those in authority, there's times that God may call us to raise questions. But our attitude ought to be changed by the way we pray. The peaceful and quiet life that we live ought to be represented in the way that we address those in authority. The way that we speak of them, the way that we acknowledge them. And we have such difficulty in American Christianity of lining up behind a human person as one that will save our nation. Sometimes we don't like to say that that's what we're doing because, well, when we say it out loud, it sounds kind of blasphemous. And by doing that, we worship someone we shouldn't worship, and we tend to, well, discredit or badmouth someone that we shouldn't badmouth. And it's not that they change necessarily. I mean, sometimes that's the heart of our prayer, is that God would transform the lives of our leaders. But when we begin to pray with the attitude that we ought to have, we change. And I believe that God has throughout history given people the leaders that they needed. And oftentimes it wasn't the leaders they wanted. We discover as Israel first sought to be like everybody else, and we need a king other than God because we can't see God, they chose the king they wanted. And God went along with it and says, okay, and he spoke to them very clearly through the prophet, this is what will happen if you go down this route. And what God said was true, but sometimes we don't learn a lesson until we learn it, until we experience it. And so we live in a world that has leaders that do godly things. We live in a world that has leaders that do ungodly things. And our job, our responsibility as Christians is to pray for those, specifically those that are in leadership over us. And I think it's important to pray for the world leaders. But to pray for, if you live here in the U.S. as I do, to pray for President Biden, to pray for congressmen and women in general, but specifically those that represent you. To pray for your state governors, your city mayors. You don't have to agree with them. But God says you have to pray for them. And as we've talked about before with yesterday, I believe, in praying for our enemies, not praying that God would remove them or destroy them or do anything like that, but that God would work through them, that you can live a peaceful and quiet life in order to represent Jesus. And we pray for those transformed hearts. The best person that you can think of to be in a position of government or political authority is going to have flaws. And some of those flaws are going to be more noticeable than others. Some you won't mind and some you will mind. And just as we would pray for our neighbors and for our loved ones and for our friends and for our enemies, we pray that God works through us to represent Jesus. And he tells us to pray for those in governing positions of authority so that their work would help us to live a life that represents Jesus. And so today we take time to pray. And we pray for those who have authority over us. Even as we acknowledge that our main and primary and ultimate authority, just as theirs is God. Just spend some time today praying with me. Father, thank you that you've given us everything that we need to know that we are loved by you. We can come to you, and even if we are in the midst of confusion, we can realize that your love surrounds us, embraces us, cares for us, supplies what we need. And Father, especially in those times where what we need isn't what we want, may you give us the wisdom and the patience to endure and to learn the things that you want to teach us. And God, as we pray today, I pray for President Biden and all of those in federal government that have some sense of authority over us by position that was elected by the people of the United States. I pray for the leaders of other nations, for those that may be listening in on this, and they have a different leader. Leader that they may like, they may not like. I pray that in those world leaders that you would work in them the task that you want to accomplish in that nation. A task that helps people know the need for Jesus. Father, I pray for those that lead in state governing roles and local governing roles, that we would learn to recognize the spotlight that they're often under, the magnification of their faults and the sometimes overshadowing of their good. And rather than be those that criticize and complain, may we be those who pray. And may it be our prayer life that forms how we live and act. And may it be our prayer life that forms how we respect and respond and address those in governing positions. Not out of emotion, not out of anger, not out of fear, but out of a respect for your authority. And so, God, today, may we be mindful of those in positions of leadership, whether it's the government leadership that we've spent most of our time talking today, or even within the church body leadership. May we pay attention. May we listen so that we would learn the purpose. And if that purpose is correction, may we learn our lesson and be changed in the way that we need to be changed. If that purpose is to strengthen our resolve and our patience, may we learn such things. If that purpose is to magnify the need for the light of Jesus to be present, may we let our light shine even brighter than ever before. If that purpose is to be a blessing, may we be part of that blessing. And Father, as we pray for all of those in governing positions, may we consistently do so with a mindset that lifts up Jesus in all things. And may our prayer for those government authorities be such that we could live that peaceful and quiet life. That as we lift up Jesus, many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.